Well, a pleasant good morning to you. It is always good to be assembled with the saints, to worship God and to sing praises to Him. I'm thankful to be here. If you're visiting with us, we're glad that you're here and hope that you'll open your Bibles with us. If you'd like to turn to the book of Judges, we'll be starting there in just a moment. There are over 800,000 people that live in Montgomery County. And there's about 70 of us in this congregation. Our goal is not to merely have a church here or keep the doors open. We have a purpose to spread God's glory, to help others learn His truth, for others to receive the forgiveness of God in Christ Jesus, to spread the good news. To do that with such small numbers seems daunting to us. Some would even say impossible. Even more so when we consider how small, weak, and mistake-prone we can be as individuals. My lesson this morning is going to look at overcoming doubts, overcoming inaction, overcoming overwhelming numbers, and overcoming a lack of strength. So open your Bibles with me to Judges chapter 6. I'm going to summarize the first 10 verses very quickly. The Israelites had done evil in the sight of the Lord. They were in sin and would not repent. God then gave them over to the Midianites, who oppressed them and kept them under their heel, making life very hard for the Israelites. Food was lacking for the people and the animals. Verse 7 says, "The people cried to the Lord, and He sent a prophet who told them not to fear the gods of the Amorites. But you have not obeyed Me." In essence, telling them their sin was the reason for their suffering. Now read with me in verse 11 of Judges 6. "Then the angel of the Lord came and sat under the oak that was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, as his son Gideon was beating out wheat in the winepress in order to save it from the Midianites. The angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, 'The Lord is with you, O valiant warrior.' Then Gideon said to him, 'O my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all His miracles which our fathers told us about, saying, "Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt?" But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of Midian.' The Lord looked at him and said, 'Go in this your strength and deliver Israel from the hand of Midian. Have I not sent you?' He said to him, 'O Lord, how shall I deliver Israel? Behold, my family is the least in Manasseh, and I am the youngest in my father's house.' But the Lord said to him, 'Surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat Midian as one man.' So Gideon said to him, 'If now I have found favor in your sight, then show me a sign that it is you who speak with me. Please do not depart from here until I come back to you and bring out my offering and lay it before you.' And he said, 'I will remain until you return.' Then Gideon went in and prepared a young goat and unleavened bread from an ephah of flour. He put the meat in a basket and the broth in a pot and brought them out to him under the oak and presented them. The angel of God said to him, 'Take the meat and the unleavened bread and lay them on this rock and pour out the broth.' And he did so. Then the angel of the Lord put out the end of the staff that was in his hand and touched the meat and the unleavened bread, and fire sprang up from the rock and consumed the meat and the unleavened bread. Then the angel of the Lord vanished from his sight. When Gideon saw that he was the angel of the Lord, he said, "Alas, O Lord God, for now I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face." The Lord said to him, "Peace to you, do not fear, you shall not die." Then Gideon built an altar there to the Lord and named it, "The Lord is Peace." To this day, it is still in Ophrah of the Abiezerites. In this chapter, Gideon is initially told two very important things that change the rest of his life. The first is in verse 12. "The Lord is with you, O valiant warrior." Our introduction to Gideon doesn't seem to fit what God sees. Gideon is beating the wheat out of the stalks in a hiding place in a wine press so that the Midianites don't get it. He is defying the Midianites, but in secret. He doesn't seem to be a valiant warrior. He argues the Lord is not with Israel in verse 13. Why has all this happened? Where are all the miracles? Has God abandoned us? The angel of the Lord said, "The Lord is with you." But to Gideon's mind, the Lord was not with Israel. He doesn't seem to believe the message of the angel that the Lord is with you. And this is when the Lord, through the angel, said the second important thing in verse 14. "Go in this your strength and deliver Israel from the hand of Midian." What strength? Gideon doesn't see any strength in himself. He's from the least family of one of the tribes and the youngest in the family. He's not anyone important. That's how he sees himself. And God reassures him, verse 16, "Surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat Midian as one man." This is Gideon's strength through which he would deliver Israel. God was his strength. God was with him. At this point, in verse 17 and following, Gideon shows some belief and brings an offering to God of the young goat and the bread and the flour. Remember, food was scarce. This was a sacrifice of some value. God instructs him to take this gift of value and pour the broth out on the ground, which he does. And he consumes the fire and the meat. This was the sign Gideon asked for, an evidence that God was with him to defeat the Midianites. And Gideon then builds an altar. He has become convinced by these things to some degree. You and I look and see the sin all around us in our society, in our neighbors, in our friends, and sometimes our family. And like Gideon, some Christians behave as if God has abandoned us. Like Gideon, we can feel insignificant against the crowd of people that are doing evil. We read of God's miracles. We know the history of God with Israel and throughout the New Testament. But we think there's no logical reason for God to be with me. I am insignificant. The least, the lowest person who could do anything that could help God. Friends and brethren, I believe God has given a sign to the Christian that we can have confidence. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, Scripture says, "God demonstrates His own love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." As I frequently say, you need to personalize that and put your name in that passage. God demonstrates His love toward me, that Christ died for me. A sign, a demonstration for me, the insignificant one, the least and lowest of persons. And verse 9 continues in Romans 5, "Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him." Gideon thought God's wrath on Israel was certain. But God used Gideon to bring Israel back to repentance and obedience. The Apostle Paul persecuted the church before he became a Christian. He killed Christians. But Christ called him to be an apostle. And there is a similarity between Paul and Gideon. In Ephesians 3 and verse 8, Paul says, "To me, the very least of all saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unfathomable riches of Christ." He saw himself as one who was insignificant, the lowest because of his sin. In Acts chapter 26, we read where Jesus gives Paul his task. And we can see some similar teaching for our task. He was sending Paul to the Gentiles. In Acts 26 and verse 18, it said he was to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the dominion of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sin and an inheritance among those who have been sanctified by faith in me. I'm not an apostle. You're not an apostle. We don't have miraculous understanding nor miraculous gifts, but we have the written word of God, and we have all of it, every word of it. Nothing is missing. Nothing left to be added to it. And we can know how to please God. But we still have doubts about ourselves. I can't teach others the truth. I'm not the best one to attempt this. Send someone else who is certainly better able to do this than me. Someone has to open people's eyes. Someone has to help people see the truth. If every Christian in our congregation argued they cannot be the one, or maybe four or five were the ones who said they would try to do this, then we end up being much like Gideon. Our doubts about ourselves keep us from action. Gideon gained confidence when he was of the least. But he didn't gain confidence in himself. His confidence was in God. And our confidence has to be in God. Look for a moment. We're going to come back to Judges, but look for a moment over in Acts chapter 4 and in verse 29. In Acts chapter 4, we see an example of the apostles praying. Peter and John had been arrested. They were threatened by the leaders of Israel, and then they were released. And they pray in verse 29, "Lord, take note of their threats and grant that your bondservants may speak your word with all confidence." When's the last time you asked God in prayer for confidence? Do we see the speaking of the word of truth as being that important in my life that I need to open the eyes of some to help them know the truth of God? Overcoming our personal doubts is only possible through belief in God and what he has revealed. Go in this your might. God has given it to us. God is with us. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13, The Apostle Paul writes to all of the Christians in Philippi saying, it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure. I believe that to be true of every Christian. God is using us for His purposes. Now let's come back to the book of Judges, chapter 6, and read a little further, beginning in verse 25. Judges 6 and verse 25 says, now on the same night the Lord said to him, take your father's bull and a second bull, 7 years old, and pull down the altar of Baal, which belongs to your father, and cut down the Asherah that is beside it, and build an altar to the Lord your God on the top of this stronghold in an orderly manner, and take a second bull and offer a burnt offering with the wood of the Asherah, which you shall cut down. Then Gideon took 10 men of his servants and did as the Lord had spoken to him. And because he was too afraid of his father's household and the men of the city to do it by day, he did it by night. When the men of the city arose early in the morning, behold, the altar of Baal was torn down, and the Asherah which was beside it was cut down, and the second bull was offered on the altar which had been built. They said to one another, who did this thing? And when they searched about and inquired, they said, Gideon, the son of Joash, did this thing. Then the men of the city said to Joash, bring out your son that he may die, for he has torn down the altar of Baal, and indeed he has cut down the Asherah which was beside it. But Joash said to all who stood against him, will you contend for Baal? Or will you deliver him? Whoever will plead for him shall be put to death by morning. If he is a god, let him contend for himself, because someone has torn down his altar. Therefore, on that day, he named him Jerubbabel. That is to say, let Baal contend against him, because he has torn down his altar. With Gideon, God didn't give him any time to think things over, to process what he had told him, to go over scripture and study what God had revealed. Didn't even really give him a lot of time to pray or meditate. On the same night, God gave him instructions, a task that was hard. God has always been opposed to the idols that men create and worship. We learn idolatry was in the house of Gideon's father. He was his father's youngest son. Notice in verse 27, Gideon was afraid of his father's household. He knew there were going to be repercussions if he did this. God was asking him to do something that was difficult, dangerous. And so he chose to do it at night. We would love to know more about his fears, but there is no other information given here of specifics. For many people, fear prevents action. Fear of rejection, fear of consequences, fear of the family rejecting us. Gideon overcomes all of those things because the Lord was with him. That's what's given him his strength to act. God told him he was with him. We also learn from this reading that Gideon had some servants in verse 27. Despite the family being the least in Manasseh, Gideon's servants were willing to obey him and to do this with him. With only 10 men, and Gideon, he tore down the Baal and the Asherah, but he only did this because God commanded him to, and because God was with him. That was his assurance. It became known to others that Gideon had done this, and there were consequences in this life for his obedience to God. But he still obeyed God and did what God wanted him to do. Now look in verse 33 of chapter 6. All the Midianites and the Amalekites and the sons of the east assembled themselves, and they crossed over and camped in the valley of Jezreel. So the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, and the Bezerites were called together to follow him. He sent messengers throughout Manasseh, and they were also called together to follow him. And he sent messengers to Asher, Zebulun, and Naphtali, and they came up to meet them. Do you see it in this reading? Go in this, your might. It's there. The Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. That's where his might was coming from. It was God. God didn't abandon Gideon, nor his people. Their occupation by the Midianites was a punishment for their evil deeds, but God is bringing that punishment to an end through Gideon. No matter what the consequences we will have in this life, obeying God is always the right thing to do. For every one of us in this congregation, there are thousands around us that we contact who need to open their eyes to God's truth. We cannot remain inactive and accomplish God's will. Romans 12 and verse 11 says, we're not to be lagging behind in diligence, but fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. And Titus chapter 2 and verse 14 says we're supposed to be zealous of good deeds. How can I do that? Why would I do that? Well, it's because God is with me. God commands me to be zealous in good deeds. Romans 8 and verse 31 says, if God is for us, who is against us? I believe that to be the same confidence that Gideon had. If God is for me, then who can defeat me? And it has to be our confidence that we overcome our inaction because God is with us. We sometimes face overwhelming numbers of those who have not obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, thousands who believe errors, tens of thousands who disbelieve and say there is no God. Wickedness is all around us every day. 70 of us, 800,000 plus in Montgomery County. What are we going to do? Read with me some more in Judges chapter 7, beginning in verse 1. Then Jerubbabel, that is Gideon, and all the people who were with him rose early and camped beside the spring of Herod. And the camp of Midian was on the north side of them by the hill of Moreh. In the valley, the Lord said to Gideon, the people who are with you are too many for me to give Midian into their hands, for Israel would become boastful, saying, my own power has delivered me. Now therefore, come, proclaim in the hearing of the people, saying, whoever is afraid and trembling, let him return and depart from Mount Gilead. So 22,000 people returned, but 10,000 remained. Then the Lord said to Gideon, the people are still too many. Bring them down to the water, and I will test them for you there. Therefore it shall be that he of whom I say to you, this one shall go with you, he shall go with you. But every one of whom I say to you, this one shall not go with you, he shall not go. So he brought the people down to the water, and the Lord said to Gideon, you shall separate everyone who laps the water with his tongue as a dog laps, as well as everyone who kneels to drink. Now the number of those who lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, was 300 men. But all the rest of the people kneeled to drink water. The Lord said to Gideon, I will deliver you with the 300 men who lapped, and will give the Midianites into your hands. So let all the other people go, each man to his own home. So the 300 men took their people's provisions and their trumpets into their hands, and Gideon sent all the other men of Israel, each to his tent but retained the 300 men. And the camp of Midian was below him in the valley. Can you think of a better example of being overwhelmed by more numbers? I can't imagine the fear in Gideon's men as only 32,000 gathered to fight an army of 135,000, which is recorded in chapter 8 and verse 10 as the size of the army they were facing. That would have been every man in Gideon's army would have to have killed 4 Midianites to win. 4-1 odds. But God had a different perspective. There's too many people. He didn't want Israel to become boastful about this. He wanted them to know this was not being done by their power, but this is something he was doing. And I can only imagine the look on Gideon's face when God told him, "Send the men home who are afraid." Why would he do that? It's just not logical. But the answer is easy. God was with Gideon. God was Gideon's strength, not all these men that gathered. And there was a lot of fear, 22,000 men leading. He's only left with 10,000 to fight the Midianite army, and now every man who remained would have to kill 13 Midianites. But God's not done. Still too many. And God sent 9,700 more home. All those who had left had to be wondering, what was going on? How are they going to defeat the Midianites? They'd gathered for this purpose, but many were not participating. They'd gone home. But the answer is in verse 7. God said it again. "I will save you and give the Midianites into your hand." God is with Gideon. This is why Gideon obeys. God keeps reassuring him. God lowered the number to 300 men so that he would be glorified in this victory. There is no army of 300 that could defeat an army of 135,000. Each man would have had to have killed 440 men. Impossible. Man couldn't do it. Only God. When we think about the effect that we can have through the gospel to the world, it is terribly easy for us to think we need a bunch of people. God wants us to understand that he does not need large numbers to accomplish his will. He needs people of faith. Imagine in your mind the gospel's limitless potential, even here in our country, if we will open our mouths in faith to open people's eyes to the truth. Even in our small numbers, we don't need a mega church to accomplish the will of God. God doesn't need a mega church to accomplish his will. The Lord only needs a small group of people who are faithful. If it's the Lord's will, we could teach 10,000 people before the end of this year. But we'd have to be willing, like Gideon, to go and do. Consider what the Lord accomplished through 12 apostles in their lifetime and how the gospel was proclaimed all over the world. We have to stop doubting and we have to start praying that it will happen. We have to become active in our service, willing to enter the battle. The Lord does not need massive numbers to massively fulfill his purposes. Gideon's army was surrounded. his army of 300. Just hours earlier, they had been surrounded by 31,000 and some other soldiers. And now they stood in a camp that felt incredibly empty with just 300 men. 135,000 Midianites were just a short hike away. And here we see the Lord's great mercy toward Gideon. Verse 9 of chapter 7. The same night it came about that the Lord said to him, "Arise, go down against the camp, for I have given it into your hands." He tells him again, "I am with you." Gideon's still fearful. And God's still willing to work with Gideon's fear and to help him. God is not interested in choosing someone else. He's interested in proving to Gideon that God is with him. And so Gideon was not going to miss an opportunity to quadruple check the Lord's word. He sneaked into Midian's camp, as God told him. And he listened to a conversation between two enemy soldiers. And notice what they say in verse 13 of chapter 7. "Behold, I dreamed a dream, and behold, a cake of barley bread tumbled into the camp of Midian and came to the tent and struck it so that it fell and turned upside down so that the tent lay flat." Well, that's initially a very confusing and weird dream. But the Midianite's comrade responded with the interpretation in verse 14. This is no other than the sword of Gideon and the son of Joash, a man of Israel. God has given into his hand Midian and all the camp. There's the plain interpretation for Gideon. The Lord used the enemy to tell Gideon, "God is with you." Gideon returns to Israel's camp now with great confidence. His words to his soldiers in verse 15 showed only faith. "Arise, for the Lord has given the camp of Midian into your hands." Gideon is ready. The men were ready, and the Lord was the conqueror. Gideon's army was said to be a small loaf of barley bread that would topple over a tent. In my mind, I imagine something like a cornbread muffin that's going to knock over a tent that would probably house multiple men. Something massively disproportionate to its size. And it's going to do that through the Lord's power. How strong did Gideon's 300 men need to be to conquer Midian? How much strength did Israel need when they conquered the city of Jericho? People of faith are tools in the hand of the great God. The tool doesn't need to be great. Only God is great. And the Lord will be victorious despite of our strength. Despite our frailties, even. Finish the account with me in Judges chapter 7 and in verse 16. "He divided the 300 men into three companies, and he put trumpets and empty pitchers into the hands of all of them, with torches inside the pitchers. He said to them, 'Look at me and do likewise. And behold, when I come to the outskirts of the camp, do as I do. When I and all who are with me blow the trumpet, then you also blow the trumpets all around the camp and say, for the Lord and for Gideon.' So Gideon and the 100 men who were with him came to the outskirts of the camp at the beginning of the middle watch, and when they had posted the watch, they blew the trumpets and smashed the pitchers that were in their hands. When the three companies blew their trumpets and broke the pitchers, they held the torches in their left hand and the trumpets in their right for blowing and cried, 'A sword for the Lord and for Gideon.' Each stood in his place around the camp. And all the army ran, crying out as they fled. When they blew 300 trumpets, the Lord set the sword of one against another, even throughout the whole army." We can become discouraged when we consider the power of the enemy. How can we successfully overcome the forces of evil and save many from sin when we are so weak in power? I believe the sign is clear in this text. We're simply barley loaves. We're instruments. It's the Lord's power that will bring the success. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 7 that we have this treasure, speaking of the gospel, we have this treasure in jars of clay so that the surpassing power belongs to God and not us. We should never mourn that we're barley loaves or jars of clay. There isn't supposed to be anything impressive about our abilities. We are instruments accomplishing the Lord's purposes through His power. In Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 11, it says, "So will my word be which goes forth from my mouth," God says. "It will not return to me empty, without accomplishing what I desire, and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it." Well, since that's absolutely true, we do not have need of flowery presentations or extreme outreach programs. We don't need great skill, great popularity, impressive tactics. In seeking to reach the world, we should certainly prepare and study for ourselves. But what's needed are open mouths proclaiming the gospel. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 1, Paul says, "When I came to you, brethren, I did not come with superiority of speech or of wisdom, proclaiming to you the testimony of God, for I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling." Well, we can relate to that last part. Do we relate to the first part, that I know nothing except Jesus Christ and Him crucified when I'm with you? The power is in the message, and that's all we need. People simply need to hear it from our lips. We are the vehicles delivering God's message. We need to open the eyes of others to the truth, which God has given to us. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15 tells us some of how we need to be thinking. 1 Peter 3:15 says to sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence. I think another application of this could be seen in James chapter 5 and verse 19. That says, "My brethren, if any among you strays from the truth and one turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins." Sometimes the one we need to help open eyes with is our brother or sister in Christ. And again, we're just God's instrument. God's patience and display of power through Gideon should encourage us to see that though we may be fearful, we may be few in number, we may be in low strength in our own thoughts, God will still have victory through us. That can't happen unless we put all of our faith in the Lord, as Gideon did. How can we overcome our doubts, our inaction, the overwhelming numbers against us? How can we overcome our lack of strength? We need to read Scripture. And we need to have our eyes open to understand His truth, which is, the Lord is with us. Gideon knew the stories of God's deliverance from the Egyptian captivity, from his fathers, how they had been brought to the promised land. But those stories had become something in his heart that only happened in the past to his fathers. We will see God's power at work. The more you read the Bible and tell the stories of God's victory through people who trusted Him and obeyed Him. We build our faith stronger by doing that. The more we look at the faithfulness of God's people. So, brethren, listen to Scripture and be encouraged. Matthew 5 and verse 16 says, to let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. And 1 John 5 and verse 5 says, who is the one who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? And Revelation 2 and verse 7 says, to him who overcomes, I will grant to eat of the tree of life which is in the paradise of God. If you have allowed doubts and fears and inaction to remain in your heart, I encourage you to repent and seek God's forgiveness and do the good deeds that God commands us to do, which includes the opening of eyes to those around us, to God's truth. Have your eyes been opened to God's truth about salvation? Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Have you repented of your sin in accordance with Scripture? Meaning that you have changed your thinking about sin. You're no longer going to continue in that sin. You're going to stop sinning. That's what repentance is. Have you confessed to others that Jesus is the Son of God? Are you ready to do that today? And have you been baptized, immersed in water for the forgiveness of sin and into Christ? Are you ready to do that today? The Lord can be with you as He is with all of those who will obey Him. So I encourage you to come forward this morning and respond to the Lord's invitation. Let's stand and let's sing.